Hello, everybody. Hope everybody is having a wonderful, wonderful week. And just want to welcome you all to another episode of Beyond a Different World. Again, as always, Beyond a Different World is a podcast that we use in order to bridge the gaps between people, regardless of where you're from, what you believe, your age, what you look like, your makeup. You always have something to connect us. We always have that one thing that brings us together. And that's what this episode is all about. And so what we do, as always, we're going to start off with a little motivational quote. And this week's motivational quote is from Saint Jerome, which is good, better, best. Never let the rest until you're good is better and your better is best. No matter what you do, you want to make sure that you're always, always creating your masterpiece. You are working on those small things in order to create one big thing. And I just want to let everybody know that no matter what, don't never get discouraged, because we all have a purpose. We all have that very thing that will make us us, that will make us the unique individuals that we are. So keep pushing, keep striving, and every day you wake up, you want to create your masterpiece. So without further ado, we have a very special guest today. This man has been traveling statewide. Well, past the statewide now. He's exceeded the state, and he's been traveling all over the country. And I tell you, man, it's a great pleasure to have this man here. I've been around when he was first starting out. I remember him as his freshman year, and just to see his work manifest and come together. He's an author of the book, Not Another Diversity Book. Not only that, but I mean, he's also been doing a lot of diversity workshops. And he has one tonight, which is the Diversity Awareness Program. He is the founder, creator, director, executive director. He is diversity. Everybody give it up for Justin Brown. Justin Brown, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Fred. I appreciate you allowing me to come on the show. I appreciate being a guest at Robert Morris University today.
No problem. Yeah, really no excited. Problem. And just like I mentioned, tonight at 7 p.m. in Birmingham Hall in Yorktown, we'll have the Diversity Awareness Program. Justin is back for the second time. Well, the third time, actually.
This is the third time.
It's the third time you've been here at Robert Morris.
Robert Morris is family, man.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Last semester, you came and you did the Diversity Awareness Program, and the response and the assessment that we got back, the feedback that we got back from the students were tremendous. I mean,
Thank you.
Done a phenomenal job, and I commend you on that. And the students, they're really excited to have you here tonight, and they cannot wait.
Yeah.
Yes, one of our students, she always uses great things as majestic, and she always says, I'm so excited Justin is coming. He's so majestic. However, won't you just let everybody know what the Diversity Awareness Program is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you again for having me on the show. Diversity Awareness Program is a program that was designed to bring a whole bunch of different people together so that we can have some instructional, dynamic, and intentional conversations.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of issues that are going on. If you look at the political realm, if you look at the race realm that's in the country, there's a lot of things that need to be discussed. And, you know, a lot of people are having these conversations over here and having these conversations over here. Nobody's blending these conversations together. Why? Because people don't want to be labeled as a racist. People don't want to say something stupid.
Mm.
People are afraid of being judged. So what my job is to do is to create an environment where individuals can really be themselves, be 100%, because everybody likes to keep it 100, and be able to just bring everybody together to have those intentional conversations. So what we do is we facilitate these trainings, these workshops, these consultations through the facilitation of games, activities, team builders, icebreakers, and social experiments that really get people engaged into this program. It's about 80% the participants and about 20% me as the facilitator. So individuals are really going to be able to use this type of model or this paradigm to really start exploring, being able to have those conversations with people they never had, and really start to develop their multicultural competence and their cultural awareness.
Nice. That's really great. I must say, when the word diversity comes about, and by me being the director of Multicultural Student Service, services. I too do diversity trainings and diversity programs and workshops, and I immediately see people get tense because here we go, another diversity program, another diversity workshop, just like your book, another diversity book. So how do you handle those, I would say, rebuttals to diversity?
Well, I usually start the program with asking people, how many of you have been to a diversity workshop? And people raise their hand and I say, how many of you have been to a diversity workshop? You always get more hands the second time. They're like, oh, me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how many of you have been in a diversity program that's been facilitated by ABM? And everybody look around. I'll be like, angry black man. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, they've all had those types of experiences. So mine is to be able to set the room up in a way where it feels comfortable, where individuals feel that they can come out and be able to share their experiences, share their thoughts, share their perspectives, and be able to set a groundwork where individuals can feel comfortable in expressing themselves. You do that by making sure that no one's sitting next to people that they know, and that we set up this safe space so that if you feel like you need a place to, you know, remove yourself, or you need a safe space, or you need to, you know, step away, you can do those things. But we're going to have some fun. It's going to be energetic. It's high energy. And we're really just going to make sure that everybody's on an equal playing field, because we all have something that we need to say. We all have things that and experiences that we bring to the table. And that makes sure that we're all even. You know, not one person knows more about diversity than the next. And look, I'm a diversity trainer. Some people expect me to be the expert. But you know what? I might be an expert in a certain portion of this diversity conversation, but everybody has something to bring to the table, and it's my job to be able to pull those things out and be able to help people find their voice.
That's great. It's a good point, because the greatest way that we can learn is through each other.
It's
a whole lot different than sitting in a workshop and literally listening to a lecture. When you're listening to a lecture, sometimes you tune out. Sometimes you go and you think about what's going to happen on TV, what's going to be on TV during the evening, what's for dinner. You know, at times when there is a presenter who is lecturing and presenting, you take yourself out, but you make the program very interactive, to where, you know, the students are not only learning, but they're having a good time. They're having fun while learning. I definitely recommend anybody who is listening and anybody who is watching us live, make sure you go out to this program. I mean, it's going to be a great program, a great experience. Oh, we have a current tour going on right now, and they are waving at us. So, but at any rate, you know, definitely you want to come by and you want to learn. And come by with an open mind. Our minds are parachutes.
Right.
And they learn best when they open.
You know, it's just more about just coming and being yourself. You know, we're not expecting everybody to come with all the answers, because nobody has all the answers.
Right.
As a diversity facilitator and an author, I even don't have all the answers. I'm learning just like they're learning. But if you're coming, you're willing to be open, you're willing to be a little vulnerable, you're willing to be a little uncomfortable, while all the while still learning, still having some intentional conversations, getting to meet people that you haven't met, and being willing to learn some things you may not have known, man, this is the program for you. You know, if you want to have some fun, you want to get up, you want to get moving. I mean, we work in small groups, big groups. Like I said, the facilitation of the activities is games, activities, team builders, icebreakers. I mean, everybody loves games.
Right.
You know? So really just being able to pull from everyone's expertise to just bring out all this instructional conversation, I mean, it's really beneficial.
Awesome. Now, you got the book, another diversity book. What inspired you to create this book?
Well, DAP, Diversity Awareness Program, is going on its 10th year in existence.
Congratulations.
Anniversary.
Wow.
We've been doing trainings and workshops for about 10 years. I mean, in that time period, we've traveled to about 300 different institutions. I've been the keynote at over 75 different schools, different conferences. And I needed to find a medium to be able to still get the message out for those people who may not be at a college campus, who might not be at a Fortune 500 company, who might not be at a high school or any type of venue. So a lot of people for a while have been telling me to write a book. You know, you need to write a book. And for a while, the confidence wasn't there. I'm not going to lie. You know, I was like, you know, I have a great message. This is good. But, you know, I'm not sure I need to get this on paper. You know, and I had some things, you know, transpire in my life. And I was like, you know what? it's time to get these words out, because, you know, leaving a legacy is so important. You know, I want to be a change agent. I can't always just be a change agent when I'm in front of you.
Yes.
Justin Brown can't be in four or five places at one time, even though sometimes I think that I can, you know, or people request for me to be. So what can I do to get that message out there? So while I was traveling at all my schools, and I was sitting in hotels or sitting in lobbies or on planes, I just began writing, you know, and I started coming up with a blueprint for what I wanted this thing to be. I wanted it to be impactful. I wanted it to be relatable. I have my master's degree in student affairs and higher education, so I didn't want it to be so academic that the average person couldn't get my message, you know. There are a lot of theories that surround our field of student affairs, but I didn't want it to be so theoretically based that the average person couldn't pick it up. I wanted the average person to be able to get the message, just as person that has a PhD, an MED, an MA, someone who has a bachelor's degree. I wanted everyone to be able to see themselves in this book. So what I actually did was, I actually spoke this book out in a recorder. The book is very conversational. I feel like people love to have conversations, and I wanted it to be just that. And what I did was I actually took the voice recordings and I had them transcribed, and that's how I began editing the book through the transcription. So when you read this book, it feels like you and I are having a conversation. It's as if we went to get a cup of coffee, or we're hanging out with a group of friends.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about, you know, have you ever seen it this way, or what do you think about this? You know, you should be having conversations with yourself. It's all about self-reflection, self-awareness when you're reading this book. And I think the best thing about this is that this book isn't dictatic. What I mean by that is I'm not here to tell you what you should think. You know, matter of fact, I'm not here to tell anybody what to think. My job is to be able to give information all around the board, and you be able to pick up the pieces where they lie for you.
Nice.
A lot of people are in different developmental stages, so I will never tell anybody in the audience where you're wrong for thinking that. No, they're right, because that's what they feel. Everyone's entitled to their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need to do is give everybody all the pieces to the puzzle, but give everyone the ability to put the piece of the puzzle together themselves, instead of us telling them, this is how the puzzle should look. This is how the ultimate picture at the end is supposed to look. No, the puzzle's gonna look how you want it to look. You know, we always have a box of crayons. We gotta be able to sometimes not be afraid to color outside of the lines.
Nice. Whew. Woo! Wow, there you have it. There you have it. I mean, that you literally just repeated everything that I've been saying throughout this entire academic year.
Wow.
That's what it is.
Right.
You got our hand. Five individual fingers that do different things, but it comes together, creates a fist, and that fist can pack a mighty punch.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, it's up to us to put the pieces to the puzzle together.
Right. And the accountability is different for everybody, too, because, you know, even us, you know, you're a student affairs professional, I'm a student affairs professional. We both work at different institutions. I work at a public school, you work at a private school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the administration, faculty, and staff, we got to be sending the same message. You know, we can't say to our students, oh, go out there and have diverse experiences, but yet we're not talking to our colleagues. We can't say, oh, we want you to go out there and meet new people, but we're sitting in our offices not doing it either. It's not the right model. So it's going to take multiple people to really reflect what we want to see in our students. We can't be hypocrites.
Right.
This field doesn't have space for us to be hypocritical. We need to be able to foster that change and allow individuals to come to their own conclusions, but they can only do that if we give them the tools. And the tools only come from our toolbox, so we have to make sure that we're equipped. If we're not in the right space to be able to have these dynamic conversations, how can we expect our students to?
Exactly. It literally amazes me, because I tell my students all the time, I'm never going to bring something to you, the one, I don't know about, and two, I never experienced.
Right.
If this is something that I know that I've experienced and it benefited me, I know my students will benefit from it.
Right.
I know my students will benefit from it because I benefited from it and I've experienced it.
Yeah.
So if I feel as though that it was an amazing experience, and I remember like it was yesterday, you coming to Edinburgh University doing this program.
Yeah. That was way back 2008.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a long time ago.
It was a long time ago indeed. But however, you've grown from that.
Yeah.
I've grown from that. And I must say, I mean, I must take the opportunity to commend you on your journey. You motivate me.
Thank you.
You inspire me. You inspire me to move forward and keep pushing, because I've literally watched your growth. And, you know, you've always had it in you. But to see that manifest and to see your work manifest and to see you traveling to the different states and different institutions and creating a book and literally being the face of diversity. I commend you on that.
Thank you.
So,
thank
you. You know, definitely thank you.
Yeah,
I
look up to you too, man. You're doing big things. You know, I'm excited for your growth as well.
I appreciate that.
Iron sharpens iron. You know, I know in our field, you know, student affairs, there's a lot of competition. It's everybody trying to get to the top. It's everybody who can be the assistant director here and who can be the dean here and who's going to move up to be administrator.
Right.
It's not about that. It's about the development and the progression of our students to be global leaders. I want to create developed students. I want to create change agents.
Yes.
You know, I want to be able to pour into students so much they can't even take anymore. That's how much I have to pour. But you can't pour from an empty cup, which means that it's necessary for us to make sure that, again, that we're equipped with the tools to help our students succeed.
Wow, there it is. Like we are that key to the success of our students. And it's up to us. So if there's any faculty and staff, administrators that are listening, please take this charge, take this challenge, be the change agents that we should be for our students, because we are the leaders.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they're going to say, okay, why is Fred telling me this and he's not doing it?
Right.
You know,
And I think our students definitely see that. They definitely see the fakeness.
Most definitely.
That's why it's important for us to always make sure that we keep everything 100. You know, there's no sense of me saying I have a safe zone sticker on my window that says I'm trained to speak with students from the LGBTQAI background, but you never see any of those students in my office. You don't see that I have any relationships with that. But I had this one-time training where everybody's like, oh, I'm safe zone trained. You know, I'm an ally. No, not being an ally has to move beyond the sticker. An ally has to be an individual who knows what's going on in that community, whether that's, you know, individuals from the LGBTQA background or that Latinx, whether that's people of color, international students, people with disabilities. To be an ally is to actually be there. It's not to, you know, have that one-time training and call it a day, put your certificate up in your office to show your accolades, but you don't know any of those students. You're not impacting that community. You go into their programs, but you're sitting in the back, you're eating the food, and you leave it. You're not making an impact. It's about knowing what's going on. It's about reading articles. It's about making sure you pay attention to case studies. It's, you know, sometimes it might mean that you're donating monetarily to the causes. You know, that's what it truly means to be an ally. It's a movement. It's a call to action. So without that, you know, I feel like a lot of people throw that ally word around. You know, if you're not about the life and you're really not about truly making that purpose, you need to sit down and do some self-reflection. Are you here for the right reasons? Are you here to truly make that impact? Because there's a lot of people that want to sit in seats that we're sitting in to be able to create this impact. So every day has to be a renewal. Every day has to be a, you know, you get up and you say, I really want to make an impact. You know, I never want to be stagnant. I never want to be stale in this field. And it happens. I think I saw a statistic the other day that said, in the first 2 years, 47% of student affairs professionals drop out the field.
Wow.
That's a hard, hard pill to swallow, that the majority of people get master's degrees in this field don't stay. So what are we doing to make sure these individuals who are trained to have an impact continue to have an impact?
Most definitely. That's deep. So what is it that sparked your passion? And what keeps that fire going? So this is a two-part question.
Okay.
So what sparked that passion, and what keeps your fire going?
Okay. Well, as Fred would tell you, I mean, we both, and Fred actually transferred to Edinburgh, but we both started our collegiate journey at Slippery Rock University. And yes, Slippery Rock is a real place. I loved my time there. I actually visited Slippery Rock today before the session, caught up with some people. But Slippery Rock's a predominantly white institution, and at the time didn't have a lot of people of color. And when I was there at the institution, I was suffering from a lot of microaggressions. You know, a lot of people found out that I was from Philadelphia, go Birds. And, you know, a lot of people had conversations with me that were a little off-putting. You know, oh, you're from Philly, do you have a gun? Or, oh, you're from Philly, you rap. You know, are you from Philly? Are you, you know, are you here on a sports scholarship? There were a lot of misconceptions and stereotypes and microaggressions that really separated me from my colleagues, people I was in neighboring distance with in the residence halls, the people that are my classmates. So me and a group of friends thought it would be beneficial for the institution to come up with a program to address these needs, because there were a lot of needs that were on campus, especially when relating back to the campus climate. So we made this student group. It was entitled Building Bridges at the time. And what we did was we were just gathering students each week, you know, and you said the thing that sparked it was that we met in a classroom. We had 40 people, broke the fire code. We were meeting in a university theater, broke the fire code, the biggest place that could hold us on campus was the Alumni Center, and willingly, not because they're getting extra credit, not because they needed to be there, not because you know, they had to fulfill some academic requirement, but we were having an average of 80 students per week coming and having these dynamic conversations about cultural awareness and diversity because they wanted to be there.
Wow.
And that's when I knew that something was special here. And it wasn't until I was getting calls from different places all over the state, all over the country, that was like, hey, I want you to come in and I want you to create this program. So I had to then take all of my ideas, recreate them to a program called Diversity Awareness Program. And that's what I've been doing for the past 10 years, going and recreating what that special moment we had at my institution as an undergrad, and being able to spread that love, spread that understanding, and spread those dynamic conversations with people all across the world. But the fire, I think your second part of the question, the fire that keeps me going, is just the stories I hear about when I leave. You know, those things allow me to know that I've made an impact, that the time wasn't wasted for both people.
Okay.
You know, I'll come in and, you know, I'll do what I got to do. But when I leave, it's the impact that I leave. So whether we're doing accountability partners or whether we're actually starting a student group, which, by the way, we have 27 chapters of this program countrywide. So what that means is that there are 27 universities that have student groups that are actually hosting and facilitating these conversations weekly at their college campuses. But that's the impact. When a student calls me and says, you know, I grew up in a very, very small town where I didn't know a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some thoughts and ideas that were 100% wrong. And I would have never gave these people a chance if I had never gone through this program, you know, and really learned some things. I mean, I've had grown adults come up to me and said that they never, ever heard someone of color speak. They've never met anyone of color speak. I mean, I've traveled to a lot of different places with people with a lot of different backgrounds, you know. Well, I really used to be a little homophobic, but it wasn't until we had your Know Your LGBTQA Rights where individuals were like, wow, I didn't really realize the country was set up like this, like policy, regulations, and how the country is set up. It's not set up for everybody to be successful. It just isn't.
Mm.
It goes beyond racial lines, and, you know, audiences are appalled sometimes. I'm like, you know, here in this country, men and women make the same amount of money. Everybody's like, no. I'm like, well, if we know that's an issue, what are we doing about that? You know, I ask people all the time, hey, how many of you would like to be treated as people of color are treated in this country? Not one person will ever raise their hand, which means that shows me as a facilitator, we're all aware of how the system is, how it's set up, yet we have to make a conscious decision to do something about it. For us to be idle and not say anything means that we agree with the status quo.
Mm. There it is. Wow. Whew. 7 o'clock tonight, right. 7 p.m. Yorktown, Birmingham Hall. Please come play, like, play your icebreakers, learn.
Right.
And, you know, definitely get to meet somebody who you've never met before, because right. You don't know the change that you can create by just taking that first step.
Or the friends that you're going to make. I mean, I made a lot of friends. I mean, I see some people on the live feed, like Tim Westendorf. I mean,
wow.
We made friends through this program. I mean, I met a lot of friends around the country and continue to have those relationships. I mean, I had a couple that actually got married from me and then DAP. They invited me to their wedding. I mean,
a lot of this,
I mean, I just never thought it was going to grow to be this big, but it's the impact that it leaves. Because once you go through this, there's no turning back. You can't say, oh, I didn't get this information, or no one ever told me, or I didn't learn this, or I never had the ability or had, you know, the experience with this. Once you cross into this, there's no going back.
Right.
You're aware now.
Exactly.
A lot of people, you know, very common phase that our students always saying, you know, stay woke, man, stay woke. You know, Childish Gambino, talking about stay woke. You know, being woke is not a comfortable thing. You know, it's not something that we're happy to do. You know, being woke means that you're aware of what's taking place. Now you have to do something about it.
Mm.
You can't be woke and still be asleep.
Mm.
You can't be both. You know, so sometimes even as a student affairs professional, sometimes, you know, I'm sure you know this too, you and I walk in spaces where they might necessarily want a black face, but they don't necessarily want a black voice. So we got to be able to really just pick these concepts apart and really just start having the conversation. It starts there. It just starts with the conversation.
There it is. Wow. And that's the thing that I be telling everybody is, like, you never know, you know, when you find your purpose, where it's going to take you.
Right.
Justin had no idea that the DAP would take him where he is today. He had no idea that he would be writing a book. Am I right? If I'm wrong, stop me.
No. Never. Yeah. I never thought that, you know. I think I wrote that in the introduction, you know. Not that it was a last minute thought. Like, it took me about 6-7 months to write it. Mm. I had what I wanted, but the confidence not to produce it. So the day it actually got in my hand, I was actually at a conference. I was at, where was I? I was at the Apache State System Conference. It was at East Stroudsburg this year in Pennsylvania. And I actually had the book in hand, and I just couldn't believe it. You know, I couldn't believe that it got published, you know, when it started being critically reviewed, mm-hmm. you know, and people started pulling it. I wasn't expecting that. When Amazon said, we want to put this on our book list, and people started getting emails about this book, didn't think of that. When I got my official letter from Barnes & Noble that said, we want to carry your book on the shelf.
Goodness.
That really just, that touched me, man. So no, I never thought the book was going to be a thing, but now it's here.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as an author, you have to be able to stand by your words. You know, the same Justin that you'll see in this book is the same Justin you would see in your office at Westchester University. Shout out to Westchester University, amazing place to work. I have a lot of awesome colleagues that are very special. Shout out to my supervisor as well.
Mm-hmm.
She's very supportive of this. I mean, she's really helpful in, you know, making sure that I see things both ways. And you can't be one way in this book and be one way in a session, but not be the same way in the streets.
Right.
Be in the same way behind closed doors. It doesn't work like that.
People appreciate transparency.
Yeah.
And by you being transparent in your book, they can not only relate to you more, but listen to the words that you're saying. And
right.
When I say by listen, I mean by listening with their eyes, but hearing your voice in that book because they know you.
Right.
You know, my fraternity brother had said to me when he saw my video of the keynote that I did at the Student Development Leadership Institute, he said, that was Fred.
Yeah.
He said, that was the same Fred that I'm talking to outside. You
right.
know, he said, that's the thing I love about your speaking is the fact that you never change. You're never Fred, the keynote speaker, and then Fred, the regular individual.
Right.
So the transparency in your book and the transparency in your workshop, people appreciate.
Right.
People appreciate because it's like, okay, I'm going to listen because I know Justin.
Right.
I know Justin and I love Justin and I love his attitude and I love his transparency. So this is what's going to make me listen to him.
Right. You know, it's just about finding out who you are. Once you know who you are, you don't have to put on nothing for anybody.
There you go.
You don't have to walk. You have to walk in your purpose.
Mm.
The time for being someone that you're not is over. You know, Instagram and, you know, on Facebook or all that other stuff, you know, that stuff's fine for a little bit of time.
Right.
We need individuals to be authentic. You know, that's the important part, you know, the transparency of just being who you are and not trying to be something that you're not, you know. And when you really start to figure out who you are, how God made you to be, you know, for those who believe in God, you know, I'm a believer of God, but he's created everybody special, you know, and you got to be able to find your purpose. But other people can help lead you to where your purpose may be, but ultimately, finding out who you are is the responsibility of you, no one else.
Exactly.
And you got to walk your own path. And sometimes when the path isn't there, you grab that shovel and you start making that path.
Right.
Figuring out where you want to go.
Yep. Because if the doors of opportunity does not open, it's up to you to build it. It's up to you to build a new one.
Right.
It's
when
up to
when
you.
There's no door, you make a door.
Exactly.
And then you bust your own door down.
There it is.
Right. So I encourage anybody, you know, if you're sitting on an idea, if you're sitting on a concept that you're like, you know, I'm not sure about this, the worst thing you could do is fail. I think people are so scared of failure. I'm like, fail. Fail so you can get to a point where you need to be.
First
you know?
Attempt in learning.
Right. Fail. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Fail.
Mm-hmm.
Because through fail, you're still going to learn stuff. You're still coming out the victor on the other side. Go ahead and fail so you can figure out what you need to do so that you can be successful.
Exactly.
If this book wasn't a hit, you know, I mean, I had universities. We have two universities that actually used this as their first year seminar read.
Mm.
So, you know, they bought books for everyone who was first year student. If it wasn't a hit, you know, I would have went back to the drawing board. You know, oh, this didn't work. Let me figure out what wasn't right about this. Let me figure out what I needed to do to fix it. It's the same thing with the program. Some people look at the program when I'm presenting, they're like, oh, this thing was so good. And I tell people, it's not where I want it to be. You know, I haven't arrived to where I want to be. None of us have seen our best self yet.
Yes.
None of us.
Yes.
And this program is 10 years in the making. You think that every single program I did in the past 10 years was a success? You know, the majority of them were, but, you know, I had to learn some stuff too. And I'm continuously learning.
Mm-hmm.
No one learns more in a session than I do, because ultimately all of these sessions are a focus group for me. I'm essentially doing a qualitative survey every single time I'm having one of these sessions. So I'm picking brains. I try my best to drop gems of knowledge. People dropping gems on me. So
yeah, just like you're doing right now, you know, beyond a different world. Justin Brown over here just dropping all kinds of jewels.
Trying my best. I keep seeing people say, bring them on camera. What's that mean?
I guess that's to add them.
Oh.
Yeah, add them to the live feed.
Oh.
But it's kind of like I always say, Dr. King said, faith is taking that first step without seeing the entire staircase.
Right.
You never know what can manifest.
Right.
Unless you take that first step.
Right. I just don't want people to miss out on their opportunities because they had cold feet.
Mm.
I don't want you to miss that opportunity, because I have some friends, you know, and I'm sure you have some too, Fred. You know, friends that just missed out on opportunities because they waited too long or they weren't confident enough to just walk into their destiny.
Right.
And the time for that's over. I need individuals to say, you know what, I'm scared to do this, but you know what, I'm going to do it anyway. You know, I might be frightened to do this, but I'm going to step out on faith. Or, you know, people have really been encouraging me to do this, and I don't think I'm ready yet, but I'm going to do it. Because if I had waited until I was 100% an expert or 100% ready to do this, I'd still be waiting.
Wow. There it is. I just keep saying there it is, because every time I say there it is, you drop the jewel. And I always say there it is, because I'm in agreement with you, with what you just said. So sorry, a little tongue twister there. But you know, I appreciate you for, you know, taking the opportunity to speak for Beyond a Different World, and you know, thank you for opening up your schedule to come to Robert Morris to talk to our students and to present DAP to them.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know that they're just like, they're fired up. Like,
good, I'm fired up too.
Yeah, as soon as they seen the promotion, as soon as they seen the flyer get put around campus, they're like, oh, Justin's coming back. Yes, we're there.
Yeah,
we're there. So like I always do, I always kick the show off with some motivation. I always do like a motivational quote, a few of my favorite motivational quotes that I always give out. And I end the show with a guest to give out a motivational quote. So if you want to hit them with a little motivation.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about this throughout the program, just trying to think about what I wanted to leave. You know, our biggest fear, you know, that poem, man, just strikes in the heart.
Yes, indeed.
You know. It talks about a lot of things. Our biggest fear is, you know, it's not that we're inadequate. Our biggest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. That's our light, not our darkness, that we're most afraid of. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing else enlightened by you playing small. You know, there's nothing else enlightened by you shrinking so that others don't feel insecure around you. You know, that just hits home. You know, that means that, you know, it's okay. I don't have a problem. You know, we talked about our field being very competitive. I have no problem letting my colleagues shine, because when they shine, we all shine. We shine as a field. We're working together.
Yes.
So when someone else is shining, I'm trying to figure out how I can get under that sunshine. Because sometimes, you know, I know we two brothers of color, but, you know, sometimes I need some rays too. You know, I'm trying to figure out how do I get to where somebody else is. So, always make sure that you're around company that's going to push you forward, not people that are holding you back. You know, you show me your four best friends and I can show you your future. You know, so I really want people to just do what they were made and called to do, but it starts with them. I can encourage you all I want, but at the end of the day, you got to look at yourself in the mirror. So Diversity Awareness Program tonight at 7 o'clock here at Robert Morris. Again, go get Diversity Awareness Program's latest book, Ugh, Not Another Diversity Book. It's available on Amazon, createspace.com, Kindle, Nook, and Barnes & Noble. Fred, we actually dropping the second book here early December, early January.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's called Things I Didn't Tell My Mom in College.
Mm.
Shout out to my mom. She read the first draft. She's like, what? You know, I don't think there's a dialogue that happens between parents and students. There just isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Students have an idea based on the media or movies they've seen of how college is going to be. And parents, you know, who went to college, they think college a certain way. It's evolved. It's changed.
Yes.
And for these first-generation students, they don't know what is going to happen when they're walking on campus. So my hope is that this book creates a dialogue between parents and students so they can really start having some engaging and impactful conversations before students come on campus, before we receive them.
Right.
So they can really get a good look. So I share a lot of my personal stories. I share some stories about me being in the field, stories from my colleagues across the country, just different things that we've seen. So it's a very raw, honest, and like I said, keep it 100 book.
Hey, well, we can't wait. We definitely can't wait.
Yeah.
Also, if anyone is wondering, you know, I purchased a few books. They will be in the multicultural office. So please stop on by if you like to, you know, read a few or read this book right here. Come on by the office.
Yeah.
All right. So, Justin, again, we thank you.
Hey, thank you, Mama.
Again, tonight, 7 p.m., we have DAP, Diversity Awareness Program, 7 p.m., Yorktown, Birmingham Hall. All right. And without further ado, we're gonna end our show with our song of the week. Song of the week is Happy. I know
I'm
that.
I'm happy.
All right, I'm happy.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the midst of the bad weather, all the issues that are going on in the world and issues that are going on within ourselves, we need to take the time in order to appreciate the small things and to be happy about it, because you move better when you have a positive mindset.
Yeah.
You move better when you have a positive mindset, and it takes a lot of energy and it drains you to be negative. So without further ado, Pharrell Williams, Happy. So continue to be happy, good people. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.